Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That was yesterday. You don't listen to this show every day, every hour, you're missing something. Sal Licata came on. People from around the country were like, oh, my God. He came on, and he owned it. And I give him credit, as we said. And listen, he's a guy that knows the Mets very well. And Mike and I were just talking about this. Mets, you had your chance. Seth Lugo comes out and says that he wants to see the Braves in the playoffs. Okay, well, that might happen. But you had your chance. You just blew your opportunity over the weekend when we outplayed you guys. And Mike was just telling me about how the Mets were complaining about how we turned the lights out.
Yeah, that's going to become a thing now. Like, everything Atlanta does now is a thing. I mean, like everybody, every Braves fan is just, we're all a bunch of goobers, as I said yesterday. We're all monolithic. We all think the same way politically. All the crap that the producers and their agendas at ESPN, everybody else throws out there. Now I just saw this, thanks to SportsTalkATL.com. They put this out there. It's a podcast where Jake Arrieta is apparently talking about, it's Bush League to turn the lights out during a pitching change.
Oh.
At Truist Park.
Keep crying, guys. Keep crying. I mean, you led this division for 175 days. You blew your chance. We outplayed you. We are now in first place. We're going to win the division. And if you want to see us again, well, you know, win your playoff series. That's all I can say. I'm so over the Mets right now, Mike. I just am because this is ridiculous. By the way, every stadium around the country, they're doing different things to enhance the experience for fans. And guess what? One of the greatest experiences you're going to get right now is at Truist Park.
Again, it's an intimidating type vibe. It's what a home field advantage is about. I'm sorry, in New York, whether it's all the empty seats behind home plate at Yankee Stadium or the other people can't get in unison with their phones to do something, it's kind of cool. And by the way, I don't want to throw Arrieta under the bus. It was whoever was hosting this podcast, some hipster who's crapping all over Atlanta with a mustache, but Arrieta basically says, you don't like it, pitch better. So he was actually on the side of
Good.
But it's home field.
Good.
Everybody's got their thing. I mean, are you triggered when Bertie the Brewer slides down the slide at Miller Park? I mean, it's like, one last thing while we're just talking baseball. I can save this for when we do guy talk coming up.
No, go ahead.
Do you really care about Aaron Judge?
About the home run milestone?
Because Major League Baseball's single season home run record is 73.
Yes, it's not.
They haven't revisited the record books, and it's not 70, and it's not 70. No, it is 73. It's not 62. It's not 61. It's not Roger Maris anymore. It's 73. I don't understand this. I don't understand the obsession
with
this.
That's Bonds, by the way.
Yeah, Barry Bonds, who, again, Barry Bonds, who was a Hall of Famer before he went up a hat size, but it's so simple. And to me, it's just so simpleton, my way of thinking, to make him the bad guy for all of the steroids. He was hitting home runs off of pitchers that were on steroids and PEDs as well. But anyway, Carl, my point is, do you give a flip about this getting to 62?
So here's where I've been on this, because baseball needs this, right? Only from the standpoint of when guys are chasing these milestones, it's good for the game. It's fun to watch. Personally, no, I do not care because I'm not a fan of the Yankees and I'm not watching them every night. But I will tell you that as I've talked about this, Mike, on the national show and people are talking about whether or not this matters, I do think there's a fragment of the society that watches baseball and they're hardcore that they care about this stuff. The other folks, not so much. It's a big deal because it's been 60 years, and I get it. And 61 is a big deal. And then you get to 62 and the American League and the history. But for me personally, no, I do not. And you're absolutely right. It is somewhat disrespectful when you start putting it in the same category as the single season record. We know that is not the case, but it is still a hell of a milestone. And by the way, he hasn't done it yet. He's still stuck on at 61 right now.
I had a guy mention on Twitter because I said, I don't care, and I definitely don't want to have college football games preempted to have a dual box where I got to see Aaron Judge. Number one, I get it. I'm not dumb. I understand the Yankees are a big draw nationally. They're not just New York. I get that. But does no one mention the fact this guy is the size of a freaking power forward and he hits half his home runs or he has a chance to hit half his home runs in a Mickey Mouse ballpark that you could hit off a tee and get it over right field? I mean, I don't care. I don't care about Aaron Judge. The record is 73. You know, Bud Selig and every other minion under Rob Manfred, you created this mess. And what really drives me crazy, the media did too, because they were silent partners in this. The whole steroid era. They didn't want to know about it when it was hopping.
No, they knew. They just didn't report about
Correct.
It. That's where
but
we were.
But they get high and mighty now. Also the gatekeepers that keep guys out of the Hall of Fame over it too.
Yeah, the Judge thing is interesting. Baseball will make a big deal of it because, again, it's been a long time and nobody's come this close. They should, but it doesn't mean that it has to rule the day, especially when we've got all this other stuff going on. And more importantly, Mike's right, the stuff that we care about. I know this has been part of the broadcast over the last few days or at least weeks. Every time he's up to bat, they're throwing it on. They're making sure that you get a chance to see it. Okay, I'm cool. I love to see history, too. Let me see what happens. But I personally am not caught up in the fact that this is the biggest story. Right. It's one of the stories that we're talking about. All right, let's get to the dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs. The Dog Report is brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, a proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs.
All right, guys. Offense has got to score some more touchdowns, specifically throwing the football. Stetson Bennett, when you look at the numbers, Mike, you go, he had 312 yards, but he didn't have any touchdown passes. Now, he didn't throw any picks either. But I'm not putting this win and barely getting past Mizzou on Stetson Bennett. He didn't play well. Nobody really played well. But I also think the defense, Mike, that's given up almost 6 yards a play, they've got to be better. And here's the thing. Back-to-back games now, you've given up 22 points. Doesn't sound like a big deal. But understand the national championship team gave up 10 a game. That's why you had all those guys go in the draft. If you're going to be legendary, if you're going to be different, okay, when you talk about getting to that next level, this defense is giving up more than they did last year. And, Mike, they did it against lesser opponents.
I know that the defense has got issues with Jalen Carter going out. And I guess, what is it? It would be Bear. Bear steps up. That's pretty good. You got a name Bear coming in to step up. Bear Alexander becomes the big name, according to Dog Nation, for the defense in his absence. But I went back and I watched the fourth quarter. They're down 10 points with 13 minutes left, by the way, on the road in Missouri. I know we don't really respect Mizzou at this stage under Drinkwitz, but I went back and I watched it. I mean, it's an amazing display when you see, you know, the tight ends having the kind of impact they did and the big plays. But I just feel, Carl, I think the offensive line, if you watch the first three quarters, it's almost like somebody threw a switch, like somebody got on it. And this is why people are upset about Stacey Searles coming back and the whole conversation we had yesterday about just what exactly is this, the offensive line, since you've gone from Pittman to Matt Luke and on. Did you see the play where Darnell Washington, one of the touchdown drives, catches the ball, he's lined up by the corner or the safety, and lays him out?
Yeah.
I mean, the defensive player winds up 5 yards back. It's unbelievable.
He's a big dude, man.
But, I mean, do you think the wide receivers have got to play a bigger impact in this, too?
Well, this gets back to Stetson Bennett. I mean, no touchdowns. The last two games, I thought Stetson Bennett would be on this tear of throwing three or four game. So, you're telling me he didn't throw one against Kent State and he didn't throw one against Missouri? Come on now. I'm just asking the question. You can tell me this is a bad couple of weeks or a stretch for Georgia. That's fine. Do I still think Bama and Georgia are the two best teams in the country, along with Ohio State and maybe Michigan or Clemson or USC if you want to throw them in there? Yes. But you're not winning chips by playing the way that you've played the last couple of weeks. So I want to see what they come out and do against Auburn. And I want you to hear what Kirby had to say about Auburn's defense, because this is what you're going to see this weekend.
They're fast. They're physical. Played really hard. Two elite edge guys. Some athletic linebackers, they play really, really hard. Just call it what it is. They scratch off and play with confidence. They're flying around. I mean, I know almost every single player on that defense, and they're good football players.
Well, LSU got the best of them. We know what's going on with Brian Hartson. Mike, I don't want to say this will be a cakewalk, because we've seen that the last few weeks. Nothing is easy. And Auburn's going to come out, and they're going to give you a great game, as they always do. So I just want to see improvement on both sides of the football, but more importantly, offensively, Mike, it felt like this thing was at a standstill. The good news is Stetson Bennett went 4-for-4 for 39 yards on the go-ahead touchdown drive. He picked it up.
I know that Bennett is a guy that we always seem to have got to defend for at least some part of the Dog Nation fan base. Is he part of the hangover?
Maybe.
I mean, I'm not trying to – I mean, we know what this guy's capable of. He made some – he made some really good decisions with the ball late in the game. They were able to run the ball. That fourth down play is unbelievable. I mean, where you see McIntosh-Milton, we've talked about the M&M combination. These guys are able to move. I just thought that on the road, it's still pretty impressive to be down with 13 minutes left. You're down 10 points to win the game. It's just no one expects Georgia to ever be in this position. So I don't know. We were all of the impression after the Kent State game, Kirby's going to lay the law down to these guys. Well, unless you just say Missouri's better than we thought. No, they're not. They're not that. See, the Auburn game is tricky because it's a rivalry game.
Yeah, it is.
And the all bets are off, and Harsin's living to coach another day. Although, did you really expect LSU to not beat them last week? LSU's getting on a run.
Let's also give some credit, as we did yesterday, to Georgia Tech. You got a little hope, okay? Going on the road, beating Pitt. It was a good win. You get Duke at home, 4 o'clock on Saturday. But, Mike, you still got to play Virginia, Virginia Tech, Miami, Florida State, North Carolina, and, of course, UGA. There's some wins in there, but I'm not sure where this goes. But they're 2-3 right now after that win. So, again, Coach Key, congratulations.
Hey,
give some people some hope.
A lot of people are banging the drum. I know Sporting Spice, Sandra Golden, talking about, hey, let's give this guy a shot because of his pedigree, to your point.
Yeah.
You said it. He's got an audition. Now you can go out there. A lot of folks would say sometimes that's a sucker bet. You're going on emotion with the kids. Sometimes you still need to go with another guy, despite how good the interim coach does.
All right. Wes called that game, by the way. Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. We'll ask him about what he saw with Georgia Tech. He was calling the game against Pitt. We'll also talk about the Falcons. Big game on Sunday against the Bucs. And the Bucs are reeling right now. I know it's Tom Brady and all of that. It is Dukes and Bell. All right, guys. Each and every week we get a chance to talk to the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. He also had a chance to call the Georgia Tech game over the weekend against Pitt. And Wes, I want to start there. Wes Durham joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline because we were just talking about college football and Tech. What did you see in this game and why Tech responded the way they did? They've got Duke on Saturday, and we were just giving them credit,
sure.
Coach Key and what the staff. That's a tough, adverse situation, and then you're going on the road. Mm-hmm. But the kids responded. What did you guys see? I know you called the game.
Well, I thought there were a couple things. One, I give Brent a lot of credit, and to no surprise, he talked with us in our production meeting on Thursday about the investment into the structure and kind of the way they went about the preparation in short order, right? And he gave me a great line that Mac McWhorter gave him and said, you can't win the job, you just got to do your job. And Mac, of course, was an interim coach back in the early 2000s when George O'Leary left. And so Brent had been a GA on that staff and remembered that experience and talked to Mac, and he's talked to other people too, but I thought that whole, premise of just do your job became pretty prominent in the way they executed. Now, make no mistake, I mean, the first pass of the ball game, Eric Hallett should have picked it and run to the river, right? I mean, Jeff Sims basically gift-wrapped an interception that Hallett didn't hang on to, but that almost infused Georgia Tech too, Carl and Mike. So I give Brent a lot of credit. I give their players a ton of credit. And then, Pitt turned the ball over 3 times in 4 possessions to start the second half, and that was the door Georgia Tech needed. I thought they found some punch with Hassan Hall in the run game, which certainly helped. And then, to be honest with you, Roddy and I came away from it really liking their linebackers. I mean, I knew Charlie Thomas statistically had put up some stuff, but he impacted that game when he came in the second half after sitting out the first with the targeting. And in all honesty, I think Charlie Thomas was a huge factor. And here's the other part, too. They got some gettable games now. I mean, Duke is playing terrific with Mike Elko in his first year, but they get Virginia behind that. They got a chance to win a couple here. And, yeah, who knows what will happen after that. But it's a great story for Brent and a great story for those players to handle the adversity of seeing your coach get dismissed and certainly the front office situation there. To come away with a win over a team that I think is pretty good, but clearly didn't play to their potential Saturday night either in Pittsburgh.
Hey, before we get to the Falcons with Wes Drewham, Wes Durham, here on the WadeFord.com hotline, I know a lot of hype preseason about NC State, and this is the year they're finally going to knock off Clemson. Well, they came up short in Death Valley, right. And it seems like DJU has kind of turned a corner and has got some swagger back.
No question. I think his last 4 games, he's kind of ascended each time, right? I thought the ball game a week ago in Winston-Salem really kind of, pushed him up a notch or two in the way people look at him. And then I thought last Saturday night, the run game piece for him, I mean, you're still tackling a guy 230-some pounds now. I mean, and he's got some athleticism about him, but he has got a flat cannon now for a right arm. I mean, he soft tosses 160 yards, let alone throw it hard. So I think Clemson and Brandon Streeter, their offensive coordinator, deserves some credit here too, guys, because the mixing and matching of their ratio run to pass is pretty impressive. And they got a talented kid in Shifley. and they're starting to kind of, you know, explore a little bit of those guys that are on the perimeter, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they, you know, they should beat Boston College Saturday night, but then they go to Tallahassee, and I'm really going to be interested to see how Florida State responds after Wake Forest went down there and did Wake Forest things to them over the weekend.
And just real quick, Wes, because I was sitting there like 10 rows behind the bench, Wake was just bigger and better at wide receiver at the line, a little bit older too, a lot of fifth-year and sixth-year guys.
Yeah, they are old, Mike, and that's why NC State, I think, sorely disappointed this week because they're old too, right? I mean, they had won the game in Raleigh a year ago and thought they had a chance, and you know, Clemson, Devin Leary have all played really good for NC State, but Wake is an old football team. In fact, I just laugh at guys nationally who don't believe in Wake Forest. I mean, it's just, you got to be kidding me. I mean, they've done everything possible to prove that they belong in the discussion of the top 20 in college football, and people look at it like it's, you know, dear old Wake Forest with, you know, the 1960s or 70s, and it's not. I mean, Dave Clawson's done a terrific job there in a decade. He and Dave Doran, and I'd say this in relationship to the Georgia Tech situation, he and Dave Doran have done the two best jobs of building programs and being given the time to build those programs, the patience to build those programs. And I think a lot of schools in this country, and I would cite Georgia Tech, and I know I work there, but I would tell you, Georgia Tech fans, Georgia Tech administration, if you want to commit to the resources to get this done, understand that it just does not flip a switch and happen overnight. I mean, Miami is showing you that. But you hire the right guy and give him time to do it, it can happen in football. Maybe not at the elite level, like we talked about last week, Mike, but I think it can happen to where you're a relevant football program in today's college landscape.
Yeah, I like Wake a lot. I agree with you totally. Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, he called that game. He calls college football as well. Joining us here on Dukes and Bell on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Wes, we ran for 200 yards last week. The Chiefs ran for 189 against the Bucks. Okay?
Right.
And I'm just looking at this and going, okay, there's the formula, because they got to put that fire out. They got to show us they can do that.
Carl, every week's a different week in the National Football League, my man.
Oh, no, no doubt.
How this goes.
But here's the deal. When I see teams give up certain plays, you know this, I'm going to attempt to do that. You got to show me you can stop it. If they come out and stop the run, then obviously Marcus has got to be better. But I do think that this is something that the Bucs are going, okay, we got exploited, and here comes Atlanta, and they're running the football pretty well right now.
Right. No, and no question. And I think what you'll see – because of Patrick Mahomes and Marcus Mariota, I think you'll see Tampa commit more to stop the run.
Yes.
Make Mariota try and win the game with his arm. And, you know, you don't have to be a PhD in footballology to figure that one out. I mean, you know, his numbers are, I mean, again, his numbers, right? He wasn't great last week, but he was good enough to manage the game and win the game, right? And, look, how many different people do you want to give credit to for last week? I mean, because essentially the first sequence of the game, the Browns were lining up, and I thought Jim Brown was carrying the football. I mean, you know, race right down the field, get inside the five. By the way, that's the first time in 15 red zone possessions they've been held out was last week. First time. 13 possessions this year, one at the end of last year. So 14 straight red zone possessions they had scored, and on that opening drive they didn't. And, you know, that I thought that set a little bit of a tempo for what Arthur Smith talked about. But when you needed a boost last Sunday, you found it. It just wasn't with who you thought you were going to find it with, right?
Right.
And for Caleb Huntley to be that guy, you know, it shows you that that patience does pay off. And, man, the Duke was terrific on that drive, and I'm excited he got that opportunity. And I'm excited to see who the next guy is now to help this team try and go win the game. Because, remember, at the end of the day, Tom Brady has never lost to the Atlanta Falcons in anything.
Yeah, Caleb Huntley was great, man. Love the post-game passion. Love the cussing. Love it. It is Wes Durham with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Heading down to Tampa with Arch for the call. And, yeah, I mean, maybe Ebba Cady. We talked about it with Chuck Smith earlier. Ebba Cady was kind of making plays all over the field in the run game, too, and pressures on the QB.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what this is going to be about. And it goes back – remember that discussion we had back in August, right? I mean, you got so many new faces. You got so many kind of – new roles, if you will. There are some standard veteran pieces, certainly like Grady and Jake, but even guys like A.J. Terrell and even Casey Hayward and folks like that. But it's fun to see these guys come up and make plays. And I think that's kind of the personality, the working personality of this team. And that's that's something you got to look at Sunday, because let's be honest. I mean, they've lost two in a row at home, right? To the Packers and the Chiefs, who are really good teams. But at the end of the day, that's a proud football team down there that's had a lot of success in the last couple of years. And so they certainly want to keep an edge in the division, and the best way to do it would be to find a way to beat Atlanta and kind of get back on that note, if you will. And I think that's what Tampa will be out to do. And Atlanta will have to probably withstand a flurry or two on Sunday. But to Carl, your point, I think Atlanta's got to line up and find a way to run the football. And maybe it takes like it did last Sunday. You may have to wait a quarter or so to find that engagement.
How impressed are you with what Dean Pease has done?
Well, first of all, I look at the guys whose careers a couple of years ago we thought might not be, you know, here. Michael Walker,
okay,
for example,
okay,
right? I mean, a couple of years ago, did any of us think Michael Walker would be here?
No,
right?
No.
And Michael Walker's turned into a player. The two-year progression of Ogundeji. Lorenzo Carter, to me, is a guy that deserves a ton of credit, too, because he's come in here. Anthony Rush is a guy clearly where the player development piece has taken place. You hear Coach Smith talk about player development. Anthony Rush is a great example of that. I think the other thing, too, is that Dean, and without talking to him to make sure, feels like he's got confidence with his personnel groups in games to do certain things. Now, how varied is that? I don't know. But it feels like he's got a group he knows can do certain things on third down or second down or first down. If he wants to run blitz or, you know, come from the perimeter, things like that, it feels like he knows exactly who he's got to have on the field to do it. And that's got to be a more comfortable feeling for him this year than certainly a year ago.
I know we got a few minutes left here. So, again, Mariota, we'll ask again. And I know I'm going to get the answer, Wes, but I'd like to at least have a package. Just give me a package or two for Desmond Ridder just to see what he could do with the big boys, you know, on the starting team and see how he handles the moment. Or is that opening a can of worms that Arthur just doesn't want to go down?
Mike, this is why you do afternoon drive and he coaches in the National Football League right here.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you're going to play that card, I could argue that Debo's a better option than Michael out there. Michael Walker, you know, to play linebacker.
Well, here's kind of where this is. I think that there's a time and a place for Ridder, right? And I don't think that – see, the interesting part about this is that I think everybody started this year, and what happened yesterday in Pittsburgh – has a trickle-down effect to people who watch Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Because you see Pickett finally get the ball,
yep,
right? And Kenny's going to get the ball Sunday in Buffalo. But to me, the Ridder-Mariota thing is different. I just think there's more to it than that. There's more development, more building than that. And I think the confidence thing for Atlanta is that, you know, you're going to know with Charles London and Dave Ragone and Arthur Smith exactly when the time will be. And I'm not, and Mike, I'm joking around about, you know, the package. Is it possible? Sure. I just don't know that you want to put Desmond Ridder in a regular season game in a one possession game. And right now, you know, we play tight.
White no, they're going to all be one kinda, possession games. That's the thing. They are going to come down to
well,
one possession.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, they may be, but I mean, there'll be a time and a place to kind of see where Ridder fits, because that's the long term. You know, you got him in the draft for a reason. You want to develop it. And I think what they see in the preparation for game week and all that type of stuff counts. And that's going to be one of the things I'll be really interested along with you to see kind of what that looks like. There's no question he's a winner, okay? And that's the one thing about him that kind of excites me, is the guy is the ultimate competitor. You look at his record at Cincinnati and what he did for Fickle. He's going to be exciting, but you want it to – look, Kenny's first pass the other day was a tipped pick against the Jets. And then he threw another pick trying to, you know, drive Pittsburgh the field to win the game at the end. And so I don't know how much that lateral confidence of performance matters in first snaps. I'll be interested, like everybody else, if it happens. I'd like for it to happen in some sort of scripted situation and not because of injury, though. Because I do believe that what Marcus has done here deserves a little bit of credit from the standpoint of, you come in here, you've replaced the franchise player, and you kind of continue to be a leader along the way. It's not a flashy leader, but it's a guy who I think, you know, has the betterment of the football team certainly at priority one.
Good stuff as always. West Durham will have the call Sunday. Buccaneers, Falcons at Bucks. Pre-game's at 11, kicks at 1 o'clock. Thanks so much, Wes.
All right, guys. Take care.
You
see
too.
You next week.
Take
you
care. Got it. All right, Mike. We got some stories coming up in Guy Talk.
Yes. Tom and Giselle. Paperwork getting filed. D-I-V-O-R-C-E. And will Tom Brady get alimony from Giselle next?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah, man. Brought to you by Dukes of Bell Heyman Ale from Oconee Brewing. Swing out to the brewery, man, if you're ever heading that way out in Greensboro, Georgia. Got a great facility, got a great bar, good scene out there. Always fun on the weekends, too. Hey, man, you heard the news by now that New York Post had the story first. Tom Brady and Giselle Bundchen have hired divorce lawyers.
No!
Yes.
No!
Yeah, it's been a strange year for the GOAT offseason. We knew this. The retirement, comes back from retirement. The news immediately broke from down in Tampa. Wife was not happy that he kind of blindsided her. So Bucks and his wife, Bucks quarterback is saying his wife, they both hired lawyers. It's from Page Six in a Post. They've been living separately for the past couple of months.
No!
He took those 10 days to go over to Miami and spend some time with her there. Their assets would be divided, and obviously, Carl, some would argue that only Tom Brady, with all the money he's made in the league, could probably come out smelling like a rose, and she might actually wind up paying him alimony because her net worth might be greater.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Unless he had some kind of prenup or something.
And we don't know. Maybe that plays out. But can you imagine? Tom has been awarded $15 million a year for the next 10 years.
Well, it does explain, though, when he said at the press conference coming back that, hey, I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of going on. You know, he's dealing with a lot of stuff. You know, they've been married since 2009, and she obviously is a supermodel, and we remember she had the big final, her final walkout at the Olympics opening ceremony down in Rio back in the day. And, you know, you just feel like it's the kind of regular stuff that guys in their cars and wives, women listening right now go through. It's like, look, she wanted him home. The allure of being one more year in the NFL was too much for him to say no to. And it seems like that's where things kind of got sides. I mean, just based on all the things that are available that are out there.
Yeah, here's my question, though. And you know, we may never know this. Again, right. I've said all this for 2 months now. It's none of my business.
Right.
But when it's out there and the rumors are out there, we're going to talk about them. My question is, Mike, you're telling me they didn't have this conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me 2 years ago, Tom, how long you want to play? And he's telling the world, I want to play till I'm 45
right.
or 46. They're not having these conversations? If you're telling me he reneged on – And by the way, okay, because I've been married a long time. This doesn't happen overnight. There's no way you're going to tell me that Giselle is mad because 2 months ago Tom said he wanted to play and now she wants a divorce, if in fact this is true. Mm. I don't buy that, Mike. This has been percolating and moving itself along for whatever reason. And I just don't know if they didn't have that conversation or maybe she didn't take him seriously, but – I think there's more to this than just the idea. If you're going to tell me after all these years she's been with him, through the wins, the losses, right. the championship runs, that he decided to come back and play and she's so frustrated that that's the reason now that she wants to go a separate way, if in fact, again, if it's true, allegedly, Mike, I'm not buying it.
One thing that was a byproduct of all this over the weekend, always the class act, Antonio Brown tweeted a photo of he in an embrace with Gisele Bündchen.
That's just wrong.
Super Bowl, which immediately drew a lot of heat from a number of people in and out of the world of the NFL, including Shannon Sharp, who said that basically keep wives and children out of it, and it's a clown move by a clown
dude. It is a clown move. And here's the deal. It's not only wives and kids. You had a personal relationship with Gisele and Tom that most didn't know of or didn't, you know, weren't aware of the depth of that. And now you're using it in a way that's beneficial to bring you attention. It is a complete clown show, and I agree with Shannon on this.
Especially when you go back to when Antonio Brown's name was Mud, and Tom Brady goes to Bill Belichick and says, I can work with him. Dude, put you up in his house.
And you brought him in.
I mean, you think about that. I mean, look, say what you want about Tom Brady. The dude, when he has relationships with these guys, he's loyal to a fault almost. In this case, Antonio Brown, he repays it by being a sucker.
You would be hot if that was your wife?
Oh, bananas. But I mean, but it doesn't surprise you because Antonio Brown, he's got a mental defect. Okay?
Yeah, do that. If you want to take shots at Tom and say he's lost a step, he's not as good, that's great. You showing pictures of me and your wife hugging it out and then interpreting that, Mike, in a different way, complete clown show.
Yeah, I think most people got the context of it. You see, it's on a football field. Hey, man, you and I are big, big James Bond fans. And some information was leaked from the producers of the James Bond series about just who may or who may not be playing the next 007.
Uh-oh.
Now, for years, you and I have said it's got to be Idris Elba, and let's have a black Bond, it's time, or let's go with Tom Hardy, because Tom Hardy's got the gravitas, especially since Bond is kind of realized that the movie franchise was passing by. They had to kind of reboot and be more Jason Bourne-like. Tom Hardy's a guy that can do it with a weapon, can do it with his hands. He just won a jiu-jitsu championship, and he's a cool-looking dude.
Yeah.
And I like that. I thought Tom Hardy would be the perfect next Bond, or Idris Elba, either one.
Well, Elba, I do know that he had said, because this is a 5-movie commitment.
Yeah, you're committing to a long time, almost 10 years of your life.
Yes. And I know Idris Elba was like, yo, I'm not sure if I want to do that. Being Bond is cool, but I don't know if I want to commit that length of time. Because, again, you're talking about sequels and follow-ups and all the things that they're going to do as they relaunch this. Mike, they're going to go young. I think they're going to go really young because of it, and I say younger. They're not going to get a guy maybe in his early 40s to play this role into his mid or you know early 50s or mid-50s. I think they're going to go young with a young actor, and I don't know who it's going to be. But it's hard to live up to what I just saw with Daniel Craig, man.
And that's where it's at right now. Now, the names that they're giving you, and they're going to say it's going to be a 30-something because Daniel Craig was 37 when he signed on to play James Bond. So they want somebody in his 30s. The two actors who immediately come to mind, this is from the British newspapers, Reggie Jean Page, who's on the Bridgerton.
His
good-looking brother.
And
the other guy is Richard Madden. And for those who don't know who that is, that was Robb Stark on Game of Thrones.
Mm.
That was the Stark brother who led the fight after his dad got the chop and then eventually got it at the Red Wedding scene.
One of the most... That's a hard scene to watch.
Yes, it is.
That was one of the hardest scenes to watch.
And Rob has done some bit roles in some motion pictures, but hasn't really broke through. So those are your guys. I go with Hardy, man. I like Tom Hardy.
Okay.
And then for once, a guy can act without having a mask on.
But yeah, and by the way, Bridgerton.
James Bond.
That guy's good, too. Now that you've said that, okay. Right. He's getting some run. Right.
So there you go. Hey, man, let's hit the closing bell. See if we made any money today on Wall Street. Please say that. Hey. Dow's rallied more than 1,500 points, buddy boy, the last 2 days.
Need it, man.
Dow Jones up 825 points today.
I'll take it.
It's good. And the NASDAQ was up 360. So slowly but surely, cowboy, we're getting all that stuff we lost in the summer back.
I hope so. Yeah. And the next thing will be.
We're getting it back.
Well, I hope so. And then the next thing will be let's lower these rates. Right. But there were ways from that.
Yeah. Hey, man, you got a birthday October 4th. You share it with Susan Sarandon.
Okay.
76 today.
Great actress.
Becky and I saw her at a Ranger game years ago when she was still with Christopher Robbins. Timothy Robbins, the actor, the good dude from. Shawshank Redemption, whatever his name is. What's his name, Chris? Tim Robbins. Yeah, right. Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins, yeah.
Christopher Waltz is 66. Played the German, the Gestapo officer in the Inglourious Basterds, and then also played in Django Unchained.
Yeah, that was
the one who. I love that guy. He's fantastic in everything.
He is. And by the way, that was a grotesque movie as well.
Played Blofeld in the Bond movie.
Yeah.
So good stuff for that dude. Liv Schreiber. Ray Donovan, 54.
He's great.
Also narrates HBO's stuff, including the Hard Knocks. Derrick Rose, 34 today.
Derrick Rose, man, is he back with the Knicks, by the way? Is he back with the Knicks? Okay, he was injured last year. All right, I like Derrick Rose, man. He doesn't say a whole lot.
Right.
He just plays. I will say this. There was a time before that knee injury, Derrick Rose had a chance to be he was the best. He won an MVP, but he could have been like their 5 or 6 year run there.
Russell Simmons is 65 today.
Wow.
Producer, entrepreneur.
Russ? Yeah. 65?
65.
Wow. All right.
Def Comedy Jam, movies, music, the whole shebang.
Yeah, man.
You look like AC Green. He's 58 today. For those who don't know the Dre song. It's always just, it's one of those jokes of my boys, but you got a girl got a face like AC Green. And Mickey Ward. He's 57, the great Gotti Ward fights. Those Ward Gotti trilogy. Remember that? It was
great
fights.
Oh, those guys beat each other up.
Hey, man, Charlton Heston, birthday today. He's dead. He was a hammy actor. I go back and watch that stuff. Ooh, it's terrible. Today, on this date in 1987, Carl, the first Scab Sunday of NFL football replacement players. Not everybody took it seriously. The Washington football team with Joe Gibbs did. And, of course, as we all know, Shane Falco led the Sentinels to a big win over Chicago with a couple of touchdown throws.
Then
later dated the Smoking Hot Cheerleader.
No. Mike, Shane Falco, that was a movie.
What's that?
That was a movie.
No, I saw it happen, the replacements. And you get the British kicker. And the one guy's really fast, but he can't catch. Anyway, that's based on that 87 season. I remember going to a Giants game with my dad, and they were on strike with the Teamsters. And everything was wild, man. Crazy stuff.
Good run. Hey, man, that's Guy Talk. Coming up, biggest surprise of the season so far? We're going to tell you about it next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.